And here's a look at the week ahead. Of course, Saturday, Ian Punnett, as they talk with the toxic reverend about environmental issues. On Sunday, there's something under the bed. And then our full program on Monday, of course, starting with Jim McCanney, the professor, as we talk about colonization of outer space. It's kind of a neat program. Special show we're working on for you on Tuesday. On Wednesday, the co-author with Stephen Hawking, Leonard Mlodinow, talking about the grand design and how Stephen Hawking doesn't believe that God made the universe. Thursday, Tom Berg joins us, an incredible, incredible former school teacher, talking about what's going on in the world today with the school. Then we're back to Friday and open lines again with ghost stories from the Queen Mary. So we're going to take your calls throughout the night with some special guests. Special program on the Queen Mary live in Long Beach, California. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. He's back. Let's go to the phones. Matthew in Tampa Bay, Florida, first time caller. Welcome to the show. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, George. Pleasure and an honor to speak with you.
Thanks. How are things doing out there, your neck of the woods? Okay.
Doing good. Doing good.
Good.
What I wanted to talk to you about is from the time I was young. I'm talking 6 or 7. I saw things supernatural and kind of wrote it off to a young child's imagination. At the age of 13, I actually saw a ghost. He was standing in my bedroom, like at the door, and I felt no evil presence.
Was it a departed family member?
I don't know. I believe so. I have an uncle that died as soon as he came back from Vietnam, and it looked like he was checking on me. That's what it looked like. But he was scruffy, like he hadn't shaved in a couple weeks.
Were you close to him before he went over there?
I never knew him, but my mom and him were very, very close. And if you put two pictures, and we look identical.
Ah, okay.
But anyway, I saw him, and it scared me. You know, I put the covers over my head.
Please go away. Go away.
Yeah, but I didn't feel an evil presence or threatened that I was going to be hurt. Anyway, that continued on for a while. The sense of the supernatural and the unknown. And I have an overwhelming urge still to this day to study the occult and to pursue the unknown. I started drinking and using drugs, and all that kind of went away. I think it dulled my sensitivity to the unknown. Now that I'm sober again, I have that feeling in my stomach all the time that something's around me. And I've studied and studied and read and listened to your show. And I seek the unknown so much, and I just wonder why I don't experience. Do you think it was the demons in my life as far as when I was drinking and using drugs?
Maybe. You know, we've been told by experts on this show, Matthew, that in a drinking state, you can open yourself up for possession, demons get you, and it's very possible that's what happened to you.
Okay, because I've felt that, and, you know, I've even gone to sleep, and my wife will say that I'll have a full-on conversation, sometimes in a different language that I don't even know, and when I wake up, I don't remember it, but I thump back into my body is what it feels like. Like somebody's hit me in the chest. And that goes on today. So I think that the sensitivity is coming back now that I'm sober and I've got rid of those demons.
And this feeling you have that somebody's with you, is that a good feeling or does it feel like a bad feeling?
Doesn't feel bad or good. It feels unknown. Sometimes I do feel protected. Sometimes it is a good feeling, but most of the time it's I'm right there. It's, you know, it's right there at the tip of the iceberg of me clenching a hold of whatever it is.
Could be the old guardian angel, Matthew.
You think so?
Might be. Somebody's watching you.
Well, you know, also I have the old hag syndrome in the middle of all my drinking and drugging. So I was still experiencing supernatural things, but, you know, I'm afraid to play with the Ouija boards and all that stuff.
I don't blame you. I mean, you know, though I particularly don't like them, as I've said on this program for years now, you know, I think it's a state of mind, but I do think it could be a portal.
Well, I mean, Ian's done it. Has he ever experienced anything messing with the Ouija boards? I mean, I've heard him talk about it, but I've never heard the experience that
I don't think he likes them. I mean, he experimented with them, too. He's very religious. He's more religious than I am. So maybe he's got more protection.
Okay. Well, what do you suggest that I do I think it's like anything else. You have to study it and seek knowledge to see the unknown.
Well, I think whatever you're doing, keep doing. You seem to be doing it right.
Well, I sure like listening to your show. That really helps a lot. And you're one of the most open-minded and just my favorite radio host ever.
Well, thank you. It's a nice compliment.
I think they should give you a 15-minute spot, like a highlight spot on the History Channel, because I've been on there a couple times.
I had fun doing that. Yeah. All right, Matthew, have a good weekend.
Well, thank you for taking my call, George.
Okay, my friend. Let's go to our second chance line. Gina is in Lake Stevens, Washington. I want to hear this story, Gina. What's up?
Oh, my God, thank you. Hello.
Sure. Hi.
Hi. I wanted to tell you my second chance, but I don't just want to tell you it because that's not what's as important. I was almost murdered on July 1st, 2006.
Oh, no. What happened there?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I was on a boat, and I was held hostage by my boyfriend and another guy. And that's not the important part as much as what I realized while it was going on. While it was going on, I realized that there is no international, nonverbal symbol or sign when one's in distress and needs help.
No, there's and help. That's about it.
Yeah, and that got me where I got beat down again when I tried to yell for help.
No, well, let me ask you this
Hold on. There's right. SOS, there's Morse code, but there's nothing else. And I picked a sign from American Sign Language. And I picked the sign, which is C over the heart.
Who could see
A C over the heart is cop. And you know, anybody who kidnaps you or anything else, they can't watch you 24/7 every single second.
Yeah, but Gina, you're on a boat. Who could see you do that?
There was boats that came close. When the first boat came kind of close, I yelled. After they were out of sight, you know, I had to fight for my life again. A second boat came really close. I didn't dare yell because I knew I had to fight for my life again. If I could have secretly just did a sign, a symbol to them, the C over the heart, which stands for cop, and if everyone in the world knew this sign, you could get help so fast. You know, if you're kidnapped, they take you into a little store. They usually take you with them. You could do it to a camera. You could do it to an employee. You could do
let me ask you something. Hold on. I'm confused because you said you were kidnapped by your boyfriend.
Well,
why would he be your boyfriend and kidnap you?
Well, see, the whole thing was it started off a beautiful day, and he asked me to go on a boat ride.
All right, were things fine with the guy?
You know, he was on drugs and alcohol that day, and he went berserk on me.
All right, but before that, you had a relationship with him, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you go on his boat ride. He's whacked out. What happened?
I was warned by my angel, first of all, not to get on the boat. But, you know, I said, but it's a beautiful day, and he's in a good mood,
Gone with your gut. But anyway, so you get on the boat. He's whacked out. His buddy's whacked out, right?
Well, his buddy wasn't necessarily as whacked out, but yes. And
so off you guys go.
Yes.
What happens?
He starts driving the boat, and the first thing he tries to do is pop me out the back of the boat, driving just totally, you know, bonkers, and trying to pop me out the back. I'm holding on for dear life. His buddy finally realizes how much distress I'm in.
I mean, he thinks your boyfriend thinks this is funny. He's trying to get you to fall off the boat.
He told me he was going to kill me.
All of a sudden, he wants to kill you.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Yes. He was going to try to take me to the other side of Hat Island and do it, but his buddy wouldn't let him. And when his buddy realized that he was trying to pop me out of the back of the boat, his buddy took over driving. But over the next many hours, he would take it and strangle me and try to slide my body off the side of the boat. Luckily, I knew judo, and I knew how to break chokeholds. And a job I used to have, too, they also told us how to break chokeholds. And so I was able to break the chokehold each time. And because if I would have gone over the side, I not only can't really swim, but I have fibromyalgia, and every muscle in my body would have seized up.
Oh, yeah,
I would have
yeah.
drowned, and he knew it. And
how'd you get away?
I tried to keep everything in the boat as calm as I could, as much as I could. And I kept trying to convince his friend, please just bring me back to the shore. Just please bring me back to shore. After almost 7 hours of this, his friend finally did bring me back to shore. And once I got on the deck.
You ran like crazy.
No. Once I got on this, I couldn't get on the dock at first. The water was too, wavy, and the boat was moving. And this guy holding his daughter held out his hand to me. It was like the hand of God, and I want to thank that guy for doing that. He held out his hand to me to help me off of that boat, and I got off that boat and grabbed my stuff, and then I started screaming bloody murder. Oh, my God, how dare you try to kill me?
Where was the whacked-out boyfriend at that time?
He was on the boat, and they drove away on the boat.
Was he calming down by that time?
No, now they were freaked because now it was telling the world that he had murdered me.
Now you had witnesses, huh?
Yeah, so they left and went back in the water, kept going. And the police did get him. He got less than 3 months.
Yeah, it was difficult to prove, wasn't
in
it?
In this state,
Had he had any priors?
And get less time, more time.
Yeah. Did he have any priors at that time?
He was one who could skate out of everything that ever happened to him, like, he had a pact with the devil or something.
All right, don't tell me you're still seeing the guy.
No. And I've changed my whole world around. And the nurse that day said that was my new birthday, and then that was my new life, and that I get to start over. And I have an amazing life, and I go hiking through the woods, and I treasure hunt, and I go deep in the forest, and I've found many treasures, and I've the most amazing, incredible life. I find Indian treasures, and I have a wonderful job, and yes, everything is wonderful. And if you get warning signs, get the hell away from them.
Absolutely.
But I want to get this symbol out to the world, so everybody, teach everybody
know. What is this again? A little C?
It's that you put this with your hand, you make a C over the heart.
All right.
That's where they wear their badge, a cop.
And what does this mean?
It means cop in American Sign Language.
Cop.
And if you're in distress, in a bad situation, try to do that C symbol to somebody. Even if you're abducted.
Do cops know this? Do all cops know this?
I've tried to get this out to the world. I have gone to so many people. I've gone to the Red Cross, and they thought it was wonderful. They didn't know how to help me. The Sheriff's Department, Snohomish Police, Snohomish School District. I've written to Bill Gates and Paul Allen. They said it doesn't fall under the classification of education. Yes, it does. You're teaching somebody something. I want it taught in all the schools. I want it taught in first aid classes. I want everybody to know this, and it starts right here on your show, telling millions of people at a grassroots level this message, and I thank you.
Well, good for you, and I'm glad you're here. Wow. That's a strange, strange situation you were in. Let's go to Allentown, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. It's Ron's turn. Hey, Ron, go ahead.
George, how are you? Long time listener. First time even tried to call.
Like a lot of first-timers tonight, Ronnie.
Second chance. What I would do is change my work ethic. When I was 18, I was hired by the post office, went through the entire process, and all I needed to do was get an upgraded eye examination. And I was too busy hanging out and everything.
And you would have been hired on that.
Sure.
Those were good jobs, too.
Yeah, and then I went through a lot of years, different jobs. And then when I finally did decide to change everything around, I just bought a house, had a new baby, bought a new car, started a new job. 3 months in, fell and blew my back.
No.
Since then, 4 surgeries.
No.
Pins, screws, rods, morphine pump in my stomach.
And, oh, my gosh.
Don't sleep. That's why I listen to you all night.
Oh, my gosh. You're on disability?
Yeah.
Forever?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I'm 52.
How much is disability? Can I ask you?
It varies. It goes on your wages.
Oh, it does. And yeah. I assume you're too young to get Social Security, right?
Well, no, that's what I have, Social Security.
Oh, is that what that is? Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, all it was an eye exam.
Unbelievable.
And then I'd have 37 years in the post office.
Assuming somebody didn't go postal on you and shoot
right,
you.
Yeah,
down,
yeah.
You know? You never know. There's always consequences, right?
And that's something.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Post office, those great jobs then, too. I remember when I was in college, I sold shoes. And, boy, I made a lot of money doing that. I bought my engagement ring at the time, helped put myself through school, though my dad paid most of it, and had my spending money, and had my gas money for my car and all that. I was getting 8% commission and a small hourly wage, which... I don't know, what was it? Must have been a couple bucks an hour then. But that was something else. Sold shoes, absolutely. And not like they do nowadays. You know, in those days, the shoes were in the wall in the store. So you go into the store, you sit on these chairs or couches, and all the shoes were like in boxes, in the walls right there. So you just turn around and get the person's size and find out what they wanted and pull it right out. You know what? Then there was some in the back, too, in the warehouse. But, you know, nowadays they remodel these stores to make them look, you know, plush and luxurious and everything else. But, man, in those old days, everything was on the floors and everything was in the walls. Well, we're going to continue. More open lines and callers from all over the place. I know some of you have been on hold almost an hour. Roger in California, hang in there. Cody in Southern Utah, both of you will be the first two we get when we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. I tell you what, I've got a few seconds. Let me get you, Rog. You've been on so long. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, George, I hope I got more than a few seconds. I wanted to talk to you about.
Danny told me I do. So go ahead.
Okay, cool. I actually, this is a great show. I'm really enjoying it. I'm sitting here listening to it, and
it's got a different feel to
in,
it.
Huh?
It's got a different feel to it tonight, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It really does. It's all over the place. JC and everything. It's great. the one thing I called in to talk about a goat that got a second chance, but as it progressed, the lucid dream kind of came to my mind. But
I want the goat story.
Okay, I'll give you the goat story.
All right, we got about a minute plus. Go ahead.
Okay. It was in the morning, and my daughter, she found Sunny. She's our favorite goat. We'd had her since birth and birthed her here and everything. And my daughter found her in the milking barn, and she was laying there, and she was bleeding from her neck really, really bad. And something had got in. We saw that something had burrowed under the side of the barn, and probably was a coyote or something. So, you know, a goat with blood coming from its neck, it's pretty much gone. But we got down there, you know, we got down there with her, and I saw she was still alive, and Amanda and I both held her, and we were just expecting her to die in our arms, and I took my shirt off, and I put pressure on her neck, and kept the pressure on her neck, and just, you know, after about a half an hour, and then 45 minutes, we're sitting there, and she hadn't died yet, you know, and then we looked down, and the blood had stopped, and there was a lot of blood, but it had stopped bleeding. And then she started coming around, and then for about a week, we doctored her with antibiotics, and the vet checked her and everything, and she came around, and now she's about a year and a half old, and we're going to breed her in November, and we're expecting a kid in April.
I love that, Roger. You saved her. That's a great story. Okay, now we'll be back with the rest of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, lots to talk about in the upcoming months, too. Some great things heading your way with Coast to Coast AM, and I'll fill you in on those as we get through. I can't believe, though, we're going into October now in another couple weeks. I mean, just unbelievable. Slow it down, somebody. Okay, let's come right back in just a moment with final open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast, and Cody is in Southern Utah, west of the Rockies. Hey, Cody, go ahead.
Hey, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, and thanks for holding. You were on for a long time.
Oh, about an hour, and it is freezing out right now.
Is it really?
I am in the high mountains of Southern Utah, just north of Bryanhead Ski Resort. I have to stand outside on the edge of a ravine about 150 feet down to get a signal.
Be careful.
Oh, I am. I don't know if you remember me. About last May, I called in with a UFO sighting. I saw something flying. It disappeared. Half hour later, there was a government convoy of vehicles. That happened the day of, and I can't believe I got through tonight because I just had a Sasquatch encounter. No lie.
Oh, come on. Really?
I am dead serious, George. I am literally shaking in my boots right now.
Tell us what happened, Cody.
October of 09, you had a show with Stan Courtney on Sasquatch.
Yes.
And you played an audio recording where he yelled, just projected his voice, and a little while later, a sound came back to him. Ever since then, I'm an avid hiker, backpacker, snowshoer. I spend a lot of time outdoors. I've tried that just for fun to see what happens. And I'm staying at my cabin with two of my friends right now who shut me out of the cabin because they're listening to you on a very fuzzy signal. I came outside. I tried that. I just yelled. About 15 seconds after, the most primordial, brutal, barbaric scream I've ever heard came back for me, or to me. I mean, you know, I came outside, I yelled, it came back at me, and my friends were running back inside. I'm literally standing outside right now with a .22 rifle.
Well, now you probably won't have to shoot it. I wouldn't shoot it. They don't attack. I've never heard.
No, I would never shoot a Sasquatch.
So you haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen. Okay, let me give you where I'm at. I'm standing at the edge of a ravine. Pitch black around me. There's about a billion stars out. At the other side of the ravine is a highway that heads straight to Brinehead Ski Resort. On the other side of that highway is a 350-foot cliff face.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that is a thick, thick ponderosa pine. You know that feeling when you know something is watching you?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It's up there. Without a shadow of a doubt, it's up there watching me talk to you right now.
This is exciting, and it's got to be a little scary at the same time.
Well, you have no idea. I've ever since I was a kid, I've believed in Sasquatch, and I've wanted something like this for as long as I've remembered. It's about the scariest thing I've ever felt, George.
Well, look, be safe and check in with us again. You never know.
Most definitely, George. I will.
All right, Cody. That's a great story. I might as well tell you one of the things we're going to do. When I came back from St. Louis, I've got this idea, and I got it basically by watching some of the things on YouTube, and I want us to develop, because I've been doing a lot of television, I want us to develop as a part of Coast to Coast a paranormal YouTube-type website channel for us. I don't know how we're going to do it yet. I don't know how I'll tie it into the website. That's what we got this incredible digital staff to figure out. But one of the things I do want to do with this is to get you, for example, let's say Cody is out there and he has video, he's going to get it to us, or he produces a little 10-minute video vignette and then sends it to us. I want us to start creating our own YouTube-type program with videos supplied by you. And we're going to have to monitor it and stuff like that, obviously. But I think it'll be a great part of the program where you can start sharing things like that. Weird things, ghost stories, just things like that. And we've got Webmaster Lex and his group. They're going to get pulled in on this, and we'll figure out how we're going to do it. Okay, let's go back to the calls. Let's go to Mike in Livermore, California, on the wild card line. Hey, Michael, welcome.
Hey, George. Great to talk to you once again.
You too, Mike.
I am just thrilled to death that I'm going to get to meet you and Tommy next week.
Oh, super. You're going to be there.
Yes.
Excellent.
I have worked.
You should be there. Schedule. You're the one who tells us about the theater.
I know.
Okay.
Dan has facilitated me for this event, and I'll tell you what, he's the greatest guy in the world. And thank you, Dan. But
yeah, I'm looking forward to this too. It's a great spot. And I hear his attendance is starting to pick up for it, and that's neat.
Oh, good. I haven't talked to him in about a week. I'm thinking of maybe going out to the theater tomorrow night to see him. So I'll get all the details from him. But this is when I first heard about it. My heart just sank because it's opening weekend for the Raiders, and with my club affiliation, and this is our biggest weekend of the year. I have so many duties to do, and I just said, I have to work this into my schedule. So I'm going to be there for yours and Tommy's when you and Tommy are there.
That's true. Now, don't forget, remind Dan I want a red carpet and rose petals.
Oh, no sweat. Okay. I'll throw the rose petals.
Kidding.
Hey, I got a last chancer.
Okay.
I've had about, I can't even count them anymore, probably 10 or so. second chancers.
Huh.
In my youth, I have had so many car accidents. I've rolled two vehicles. One of them, the impact was so hard on the vehicle that the gas tank was pushed back 2 inches and dented in and could have exploded. And I'm upside down in the vehicle. And, I mean, rear-ended 4 times in a 6-month period.
Oh, my gosh.
And every time it was just like, why did I survive all of this?
See, I'm convinced we have like 9 lives, like a cat. And you have whittled a lot away, so you better hold on to the rest of them.
Well, I've always thought that I'm here for another purpose. I still don't know what it is. Maybe it was just to produce the two great children I have, because, you know, if I had a second chance to change things, I wouldn't. I mean, I think about it. Oh, yeah, I could have done this. I could have done that. I could do this and that. And then I think, but then I probably wouldn't have met my wife. I wouldn't have the children I have right now. I wouldn't change a thing.
You know what? And that's an interesting way to look at life and perspective. You know, there are some things I wish I knew when I was younger that I could have changed. But I don't think you can go back and change. I don't think we're going to be able to go back into time and change events. I think we might be able to go forward. And you know what? Lessons learned. That's the big thing.
Well, I think it's kind of like a Rod Sterling story. You know, watch out what you wish for. You go back to, and say, well, this could have been different. And then everything you knew, just like you said about It's a Wonderful Life.
Yep.
I mean, the lives you touch, everything. You know, George, it's just amazing. The more I've been listening to this, and in the last couple of weeks, I've actually talked to Tommy and your screener tonight, Gina. And you know, they're just wonderful people. Everybody affiliated with the show are just so passionate and everything else. And I think that's where that lady earlier was wrong. That I don't think we've lost the charity. I think it's still there.
With a lot of people. And you know what? When you talk about second chance, you know what the greatest chance is for all of us? When we wake up tomorrow, assuming we do, you got another day.
Exactly.
That's the greatest second chance you can get.
I'm sitting out in the park with my dogs, my favorite thing in the world.
That's great. What kind of dogs do you have?
Well, I got the a little cattle dog, kind of shepherd, maybe 70 pounds, and then a Kalahula, a Wanga or something. I don't know. My
what
wife
the
actually
heck
found
is that?
I have no idea. It's a hunting dog. They're big in the South, and she's mixed with a Ridgeback. We got her as a rescue dog, so we had no idea what her background was. But she's the smartest dog in the world.
Animals.
And I picked up a new one tonight, apparently. Halfway down here to the park, this other little dog started following us. And he's been trying. He hasn't been fixed, apparently. He's been trying to get at it with my two girls.
He's kind of frisky, isn't he?
A little. And so we're doing the pack mentality here. I'm letting him know I'm the leader, and those are my girls.
Yeah, but he doesn't
so
like
back
it.
Back off.
He doesn't like it.
He's mellowed out somewhat, but, you know, it's funny.
Don't turn your head on him.
Yeah, I'm going to have I'm working on a picture with the puppies for you for when you guys come down.
All right, super. We'll see you in a week.
Oh, yeah, great.
Okay.
Thank you, George. Have a great night.
Absolutely. Okay, next up, let's go to Audrey in Longview, Texas. Hey, Audrey, go ahead.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I was calling about my earliest memories.
And, oh, yeah, what was, you know, I talked last week about that. I remember when I was at an 18-month point. I remember something. How about you?
I got a couple of them when I was about a year old.
That's not bad.
The weird thing about it is they're in black and white.
Really? And
yeah.
And were they fun or kind of sad events you remember?
No, just kind of every day. One was watching my dad poke the fire. And I was wondering why he was doing that, and he told me that, you know, because they're round, he has to turn them. And I remember thinking, why don't you just go to the supermarket and get ones of a different shape? And then the other one was on a plane. I wanted to go walking down the aisle between the chairs because that was just perfect.
Yeah.
Since I had just started to learn to walk, and another held me in her lap and said, no, you can't do that, points to the stewardess and said, that lady won't let you. So...
But in black and white.
Yeah, it's weird.
That is strange.
And then the rest of my memories, I had sent you an email about one of them from when I was 18 months old when I lived in San Antonio. From that point on, they're in color.
Well, you know what? It echoes television. Same thing.
It does.
And that's remarkable. Audrey, thanks for the call. A couple more here. Roger in Tallahassee, Florida. Go ahead, Raj.
George, pleasure talking to you, my friend.
You too.
First-time caller. George, your program is so inspiring. The first show I listened to was about the WebBot guys.
Oh, they're great.
And, yes, sir. Oh, George, I have turned so many of my friends onto this. I mean, they are just really getting interested in it. And one of your callers, I believe one of your guests earlier, said something about the seafood in the Gulf was going to have a shortage by the end of the year, and it looks like that's coming true.
Yep.
And George, also, the Phoenix Lights, I am really into the UFO thing now. I've read a couple of books by
Lynn Kitai.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, sir. And, George, anyway, you just do such a fantastic job. My relief. That's going to come and relieve me. He listens to your show too at night. So
well, you tell him hi for me.
I sure will, George. And thank you so much for everything. And it's been a pleasure, sir.
All right, stay safe. Stay safe. A couple more minutes to go here, and then we're into UFO Phil land. Incredible that JC would finally call, and we would get him after 6-7 months, maybe even a year, Danny. How long's it been? That long? It's been a long time, but JC's back. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Well, here we are again for the rest of the week. Let me give you the old schedule. We've got Ian Punnett on Saturday. Ian is going to be talking about environmental issues and non-lethal biological weapons on Sunday. Neat, neat topic. There's something under the bed with Ursula Bielski. She'll be talking about children and their paranormal experiences. Like when you go to bed tonight, for example, and your hand flops over to the side of the bed, do you pull it back up because you're convinced there's someone under the bed who's going to reach under and take your hand or touch it? Or how many of you will look over the side of your bed underneath the bed? I bet you don't, because you know there's a head there looking back at you. Ugh.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people. And they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night. And I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light. And I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be. Whichever world you're living in, whatever century. The light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Gina Salvati, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.